We're going to be opening God's Word today for a little while from 1 Peter chapter 2, which I'd invite you to turn to if you'd like to follow along. First Peter chapter 2, and I want to focus here this morning on verses 4 through 6. Here is the word of the Lord to us today. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men and chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." As we have mentioned earlier, today is Christian Education Sunday here at West End Christian Reformed Church, and it's good that we celebrate this today because not only here in this church, but throughout the Christian Reformed Church, Christian education has been such an important part of sort of the DNA of our denomination and of our churches and of the life of the people. We have reflected this in a lot of different ways, not only in the support, obviously, for Christian day schools at all levels, but also it has been embedded in some of the things that we confess. We have what's known as a contemporary testimony, and there's a little piece here that we want to show. And this is what we believe together. This is what we have come together to say we are committed to, among other things. And so I'd like to invite you to reflect this together, to say this together with me. In education, we seek to acknowledge the Lord by promoting schools and teaching in which the light of His Word shines in all learning, where students of whatever ability are treated as persons who bear God's image and have a place in His plan. Indeed, this is the case. Last week, Pastor Jeremy, I thought in a wonderful message, talked about our identity, talked about who we are as Christians, and then moved into the idea of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and that is in fact what a disciple is. And so in all kinds of ways and contexts, that is what we are seeking to do, because that is what Jesus called us to do just before He left. Go and make disciples. And He didn't define in those words there in Matthew 28, so clearly how exactly all you're going to do that and what the processes are going to be, and we still struggle with that and reflect on that and work at that today in all these different contexts in our homes, and what does that mean in the church, in churches like West End here, but also what does it mean educationally as well to go and to make disciples. Now, when we take a look at the passage that we have before us today, I think it's a fascinating passage where Peter draws out some things that help us to really reflect on what it means to be disciples, also in the context, in particular, that we want to focus on today of Christian education. We see here in 1 Peter that he's talking about coming to Him, when you come to Him, as you come to Him, that is, as you come to Jesus. And when we take a look at these particular words here, it's a reminder that Jesus, as Peter talks about a little bit later, is the one who is the cornerstone, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But the idea, first of all, of coming to Him, as you come to Him, those words relate just maybe a number of things, but one thing that I want to sort of impress upon you, because they're written with the sense of continuing to come to Him. As you continue to come to Him, in whatever context that is, in your life. It's a constant process. It's a daily thing in our lives. And the reason I want to point that out is because I think it's so easy for us to slip into sort of living a discipleship life that really doesn't focus intensely and meaningfully, whether it is in our personal spiritual development or what happens in this church or when we're talking about Christian schools and the educating of our children, to get so used to the way things are that we forget about the fact that we have a foundation here and that everything that we do and say and think, all of the kinds of choices and decisions that we make have to be focused on the one who is really this cornerstone, this foundation stone. We have a foundation. Now, Peter talks about that when he says, as you come to him, the living stone here. Now, when you think about building something, and especially if you've ever been to Israel, you think about how things were built. It seems like pretty near everything was built out of stone. There is so much stone there. And God is a God who was very much in the building process, as we see throughout the Scriptures. And as we go through the Scriptures, we see that the Lord is constantly building in various kinds of ways, building, for instance, a temple made out of various types of fabrics and so forth, but that foundation was a very wonderful foundation stone. Now, that temple of God over the years that was built by Solomon was a very wonderful building. This was the place where God came. This was the place where God dwelt among his people, where God lived, so to speak. And so God had him build that wonderful house. Later on, that was destroyed with the Babylonian invasion. People came back after the exile and began to rebuild this once again. And King Herod began to build some structures as well, in terms of expanding that in the time of Jesus. We got a picture here of something that reflects that sort of thing, and I want to have that shown right now. This is one of those big foundation stones that are under the temple area that are there right now in Israel, actually, in Jerusalem. And when I was in Israel a number of years ago, I saw some of these massive stones, and I could hardly believe what I was seeing. People today, even engineers, continue to wonder how on earth did they move such massive stones in that day and age, because it is quite a phenomenal engineering feat. And so Peter, living in that day, being very familiar with the temple, talks about these things. This is one of the pictures, and he talks about Jesus as being this stone, this foundation stone. And when you have a foundation stone of a building, virtually everything else, when that stone is laid in the foundation, the rest of the building kind of draws its dimensions and the contours of how it's going to be built from that foundation stone. And that's the kind of picture that Peter is trying to get us to understand. And when we're talking about Jesus Christ here, and no matter what kind of a way that he influences our lives, but including today, the education of our children, we are talking about the one who is the absolute foundation, a very sure foundation, a very precious foundation, the one that is the foundation that God has chosen to be the foundation of every single thing that is built in the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he talks about this idea of the fact that Jesus is this stone that is full of life. He is the living stone. And what he means by that idea of living is that he is not a dead Jesus that we serve, but he is the one who, in a most amazing way, by the power of God through the Holy Spirit, was raised from the dead. And so we serve a living Lord Jesus Christ, who is in this world today, who affects things, who affects your life. It is His life that enlivens our lives when He comes to live within us through His Spirit. And so we are disciples who live with the very life of God within us. That is a truly amazing thing. When we have that life within us, Peter reminds us that those who put their hope in Him will never be put to shame. And that means that not only the faith that we have today, but the hope that we have for tomorrow and all of our future will never be disappointed. When we personally or as a church or educationally put our energies and our time and our finances and all of our focus into seeking to build along with the Lord this wonderful spiritual house that God is building. Now, Peter goes and he talks some more about the idea that because we have this life of Jesus living within us, that we have become also living stones. Jesus is the one that we are to come to. He is the foundation stone. He is the living foundation stone because of His resurrection. Now, His life has been given to us, and we also, in an amazing way, are called here to be the living stones that, in fact, we are. This is an identity thing. This is what it means to be a disciple. We need to have our concept of who we are as disciples and followers of Jesus, it seems to me, shaped by this book, shaped by what it says about us. And so I would invite each and every one of you today, young and old here, to think and rethink. What are the implications of this when Peter talks about the fact that Jesus wasn't only the living stone, but that now every single disciple, every follower of Jesus here today is also like a living stone? It does no good, obviously, simply to have a foundation. What if that's all that we had here? For instance, at West End Christian Reformed Church. Just a foundation of this church, but nothing else being built. It wouldn't make a lot of sense, obviously. And so Peter says, built on this firm and wonderful foundation of Jesus Christ, all of life is intended to be raised up. And God is building a wonderful spiritual house. And we are all living stones. As was pointed out to the children, every single one is different. Every single one is precious. Every single one has its place and its purpose in the building of that house. And so when it comes to education, because there are so many implications to this, but when it comes to Christian education today, I want to mention a few things that I think are important. They aren't all the implications of this particular passage. There's so much in here we don't even have time to mention this morning, but I want to mention three things. When I think about this idea of being living stones in the context of Christian education, one of the first things I think about is that we need to respect the fact, let me get this, we need to respect the fact that some of the living stones, some of the people of God will not make the same kinds of choices that others of us make about educating our children. We are all founded on Jesus Christ. That is the great unifying factor in our lives. But God will call and has called some in our Christian community to homeschool their kids. God will call some for various reasons to educate their children in other types of public school contexts. And he will call many of us to educate our children in Christian schools. I remember when I came to First Cutlerville Christian Reformed Church a number of years ago, and I was before the congregation like this, and I was answering some questions, and they could just pretty well ask all kinds of things. And I remember very clearly one question that an older gentleman asked me. He said, Pastor Gritter, what do you think about the fact that on the one hand, we have a very strong commitment here to Christian education, and on the other hand, there is this call to outreach and to reach people in the name of Jesus Christ in our community? And I hardly hesitated at all. I said, you know what? There is no problem with that, because in the kingdom of God, they are both important. What I did observe is that when you have a context, such as at First Cutlerville Church or West End Christian Reformed Church or other kinds of churches, where Christian education is a very important and high value, it is very easy to, in subtle ways, not be as accepting as we should of others who make other kinds of choices. So I want to encourage you as a congregation to really be aware of that, and that as this church reaches out into the midst of its community, in the great call of Jesus to go and make disciples, to realize that God is going to embrace people that are going to be brought into here, who some of whom will see this vision for Christian education, day school education, and some who maybe won't, or for various reasons they will make other choices. So this respect of who we are together as this priesthood of all believers that Peter talks about here is important. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Christian day school education is very, very important today. It is something that I believe is very, very significant. Jane and I have raised up all three of our sons right on up through every level of Christian education that there is available today. And in my life, I have experienced the same. I see in the midst of that the importance of it. There's a lot I could say about that, but one of the things I wanted to mention about that was something interesting that I thought, you know, Dr. Michael LaRoy, who is the new president of Calvin College, said in his inaugural speech when he became the 10th president of Calvin College. He went back and he talked about this passage in Matthew, one of these parables of Jesus, Matthew 7, about building your house on the rock or building it on sand. And he kind of wove that into the idea of seeing Christian education as a house of learning. For God is building a spiritual house, and part of that is that Christian education is to be seen within the context of God's kingdom as a house of learning. It is a place where we raise up our children not to be isolated somehow, protected from the world, but to engage it. Because these are going to be the ones that go from this place and from those schools to engage the culture in which we live in a positive, Christ-reflecting sort of way. Dr. LeRoy talked about just one experience in that writing, in that inaugural address, where he was a student and went to Guatemala and saw some of the significant injustices of the place, and it had a profound effect upon him as a student who was being shaped by Christian education. And he came out of there, he wrote, with a sense that I need to talk about the justice of Jesus in the world. He came out of there with a deep sense that the way of Jesus needs to be communicated in our world because of the injustices that he saw there. And so that is something that still lives within him, obviously, years later, and still shapes his life. So all of these seeds that are planted in the lives of these kids that start at a very young age in our Christian schools and as they grow up through middle school and high school and college, these things stay with them. They shape them. The third thing I want to mention is that I think we cannot talk about Christian education today without talking about the tremendous challenge financially that many parents are facing regarding this today. Otherwise, we're sort of sticking our head in the sand. I have come to see this, not only in our own life, but I've come to see this as I've talked with and listened to our three sons and their daughters-in-law who are just getting our grandkids coming to an age now where they're going to be entering into various aspects of the Christian day schools. It has been very helpful to me personally to view the challenges, the financial challenges of this very, very important kingdom focus of Christian education, raising our children up in that context, to view that in this way. In the first place, I think it's helpful. It has always been helpful to see this kind of significant financial commitment to be what I would call a kingdom investment. It shapes life differently when you look at what you're giving and why you're giving it in that light. Because Christian education, in the context of Christian day schools, is something that is very clearly part of the kingdom of God. And what you are doing is you are giving to the kingdom of God in investment ways. We do that in other contexts of life. We do that for retirement. But here, this is an investment that pays tremendous dividends. You cannot put a price on a child that grows up with a sense of being who they are in Jesus Christ and growing up in the kingdom of God with a deep sense of purpose and identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is a kingdom investment. And Jesus said to us in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that first in your life, not stuff, not toys, not whatever else people go hankering after today. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then everything else is put into proper perspective and context in life. The second thing I want to mention about that is that when we do that, there's going to be a significant amount of sacrifice. And we all know that. There are going to be some things sometimes, and I have seen this, I could have stories of this morning, where people who have committed to this have not been able to do certain types of things that they would love to have done, at least for a while. They make certain types of choices. This is a sacrifice financially. And